الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: التاجر الصدوق الأمين، مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: آمنت بالله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Respected علماء الكرام, elders and brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The aspect of taqwa is an aspect that cannot be overemphasized. If we analyze the Shariat, the Quran Sharif, the whole of deen, in every single aspect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the point of taqwa. Now when we recited the nikah, the khutbah of nikah, there were three verses in that ayah, in the nikah khutbah. And these three verses, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite these when he would also perform a nikah. And all three verses, if we analyze, they have a thing that is common, and that is taqwa. The first verse, Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqu rabbakum. The second verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah haqqa tuqatih. And the third verse, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullah wa qulu qawlan sadida. Now what is the link between nikah and taqwa? Similarly, if we go on, we have just passed the holy month of Ramadan. The purpose of the holy month of Ramadan was again to adopt taqwa. We would have heard many ayat of the Quran Sharif, many bayans during the month of Ramadan, that the month of Ramadan was لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. It was for taqwa. And then we have come into the months of Hajj. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the preparation of Hajj in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. He says that take provisions, prepare yourself for Hajj, and the best preparation you can make is to adopt the quality of taqwa. So everywhere you find, in every aspect of a person's, of a Muslim's life, he has to adopt taqwa. That is why it is important for us to understand what taqwa actually implies, what taqwa is. Taqwa only means to do those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with, and to abstain from those things which our beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be displeased with. If we adopt this into our lives, indeed we will be successful people. We will achieve our objective in life. The purpose that we were sent for, we will achieve. Otherwise, because a Muslim's life is not just to eat, drink, and one day he's going to die. That is not a Muslim's life. A Muslim has to adopt taqwa. Jiske dil mein nahi ho tera dard o gham. My Shaykh Peer and Murshid Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, he says, Jiske dil mein nahi ho tera dard o gham, ho ke insa nahi janwar se wo kam. That the person who has not adopted taqwa, the person who has not inculcated the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, leave alone a human being, this person is worse than an animal as well. Because the animals, they are fulfilling their objective in life. The cow was meant to eat, drink, make itself nice and healthy, and then to come under the knife of the slaughterer in the abattoir. That was why the cow was created, and it's doing its job. Similarly, the sheep is doing its job. The goats are doing their job. The Muslim's job was to adopt the quality of taqwa. If he is not adopting this quality of taqwa, he is not fulfilling his job, he is not achieving his objective, then he is worse than the animals as well. Jiske dil mein nahi ho tera dard o gham, ho ke insa nahi janwar se wo kam. So therefore we have to understand that in every single aspect of our lives, we have to adopt taqwa. Unfortunately, we have limited our Islam to the five daily prayers. We have limited our Islam to fasting in the month of Ramadan, Taraweeh only in the month of Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan, Zakat and Hajj. These few aspects we have limited our deen to these aspects. But we fail to understand that deen is a complete package. Deen is a complete package. Our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, he always gives the example of a person who got married. Just now we performed the nikah. A person got married in the masjid, and then when he goes home, the wife says, "Now get me a nice good house to stay in." So the husband says that, "Excuse me, I didn't tell the Mauli Sahib in the masjid that I'm going to give you a house. All I said was, I'm marrying you." And then she says, "Now I need food and water and clothes to wear." So he says, "Excuse me, I didn't tell the Mauli Sahib in the masjid that I'm going to give you food, water, clothes to wear. I only said I'm marrying you." But he fails to realize that when he said, "Nakahtuha," I have married her, I have made her my wife, then that nikah and marriage is a complete package. It comes with everything. That nikah and marriage is a complete package. It comes with everything. Similarly, Islam and deen is a complete package. From the time the child is born until the time the child dies, that child, when he becomes grown up and an adult and he dies and his inheritance is distributed, every single aspect of our lives is discussed in the Quran Sharif, in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has been discussed by the fuqaha ikram. It has been discussed by the mufassireen, the muhaddiseen, and the scholars of deen. So this is an aspect, all these aspects have to be looked into. It is not only our namaz, only our roza, only our hajj. In fact, if we have to analyze, then our social dealings, our commercial transactions, they make up 3/4 of the deen, 3/4 of the deen. And these ibadat, they make up 1/4 of deen. 1/4 of deen only they make up. The ibadat, our namaz, our roza, our hajj, our zakat, they make up 1/4 of deen. And we can analyze this from the kitab that we study in the Alim course, the kitab that is studied by the Hanafi students in the Alim course, Hidayah. It is in 4 volumes. And only one volume has to deal with Taharat, Salah, Hajj, Zakat and fasting. This is the one volume. The other 3 volumes have to deal with our social dealings and with regards to our commercial transactions. With regards to our dealings with other people and human beings. It shows that this is a very, very important aspect of our lives and that in which we are really lacking. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is stated about him, but that once he asked a person who had opened up a shop, he had opened up a stall in Medina Munawwara, so he asked him, "Do you know the masail which deal with regards to trade? Are you aware of the masail, the Sharia rulings with regards to trade?" So that person said he was not aware. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him to close up the shop and go and learn those masail and then come back. Because it is first for every person to seek knowledge. The knowledge that he wants to get in. It is not first for every person to become an alim, no. But if a person wants to get married, then it is necessary for him to learn the masail with regards to marriage. If a person wants to get involved in business, then it is necessary and farz and obligatory upon him to get involved and learn the masail that have to deal with business transactions. It is obligatory upon him. Unfortunately, we take these things for granted. People who are, they are pious people, but they haven't gone into this type of transactions. They go into the types of transactions, they go into their businesses, but they don't know the rulings with regards to financial and commercial transactions. Then we find that they get involved sometimes in interest-bearing transactions without them even knowing. And interest has been prohibited in the Quran Sharif in no uncertain terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about interest. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the person who gets involved in interest-bearing transactions, interest-based transactions, on the day of Qiyamah he will be resurrected like a mad person. I'm just giving you the meaning of the ayat, not a word-for-word translation. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah like a madman. And the reason will be that he used to say that interest is just like interest-bearing transactions are just like the sale of assets. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءُ وَحَرَّمَ الْرِبَاءُ. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted the sale of assets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted the sale of currency, the sale of money. There are different rulings with regards to this, and I don't want to go into all the rulings. But what I am getting at is the importance of us to learn the transactions. Otherwise, inadvertently, unknowingly, sometimes we get involved in interest-bearing transactions. One person, a very, very pious person, five times namazi, he recites his Quran Sharif as well, roza, everything. I was discussing with him a particular issue, and he said he has sold a piece of land. So I said, how much did you sell the piece of land for? So he says, I sold the piece of land for either 1 million or 1.5 million. So I said, how is it 1 million or 1.5 million rands? How is it both? So he says, no, if the person pays me in 6 months, it will be 1 million. And if he pays me in one year, it will be 1.5 million. Now such a transaction amounts to an interest-bearing transaction. We can have a different rate, a different price for a credit period, but that it should be fixed at the time of the transaction. It should be fixed at the time of the transaction. This is how important it is to understand the aspects of our business. And not only these aspects, like I said, deen is a complete package. Nowadays, we speak about Sharia compliance in our businesses, Sharia compliance all in the Islamic banks, Sharia compliance in every aspect of our lives. But that Sharia compliance is not only with regards to the transactions that we have. To the Islamic banks, when I normally speak to them, so I tell them that, listen, because my ustad, the world-renowned Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, he says, for Islamic banking is not only a financial matter. It has its own culture that should be adopted at any cost. Islamic banking is not only a financial matter. It has its own culture that should be adopted at any cost. When a person walks into an Islamic bank, when a person walks into a Muslim's business, when he walks into a Muslim travel agency, when a person walks into a Muslim wholesale, when a person walks into a Muslim business, a Muslim office, then he must feel as though he has come into an Islamic environment. Otherwise, if we have Islamic banks that suppose all their transactions are Islamic and Sharia compliant, or we have Islamic businesses that have compliance with regards to their transactions, but there will be banks that do Islamic transactions, there will be businesses that do Islamic transactions, there will be travel agencies that run according to Islamic transactions, but they will not be Islamic banks. An Islamic bank, an Islamic business, is a business that from A to Z, from Alif to Ya, it is completely Islamic. Completely Islamic. That there is no unnecessary intermingling of the sexes there, in the Islamic businesses. There is no, when we have to put, nowadays we find that whenever you phone any person, any Muslim business as well, then when they put you on hold, you have to listen to some type of music. So that music is not there as well. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I have been sent to this world to destroy musical instruments. I have been sent to the world to destroy musical instruments. So now if an Islamic business is going to have music to keep the people on hold, then how can we ever be successful? We will never ever be successful. Sometimes we feel that if we have females as our secretaries, then we will attract business. We have females as our saleswoman, then we will attract business. Remember, perhaps we will attract business. But the purpose that we are earning so much of money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put that type of barakat in such money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put that type of barakat in the money. We find how many times, sometimes we feel that if we have a good car, then we will be comfortable. If we have a good house, then we will be comfortable. If we have a lot of money, then we will be comfortable. But it is not that. It works the other way around. It works the other way around. If we have peace of mind and contentment of our heart, then our cars will give us comfort, our homes will give us comfort. It works the other way around. My Shaykh Peer and Murshid Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, Dil gulista tha to har shay se tapakti thi bahar. Dil gulista tha to har shay se tapakti thi bahar. Dil bayaba ho gaya, alam bayaba ho gaya. That when my heart was at peace, when my heart was contented, then I found happiness in everything that I saw. I found happiness in everything that I saw. But when my heart became ruined, and my heart became a bayaba, an open field, absolutely ruined, then even from the comfortable things I could not get comfort. I had a bed, but I could not buy sleep. I had a house, but not a home. I had a good car, but I could not get comfort from it. So all these things we have to look at. Dil gulista tha to har shay se tapakti thi bahar. Dil bayaba ho gaya, alam bayaba ho gaya. Wallah, if we just understand and we adopt the Islamic culture in every aspect of our lives. Don't just limit Islam to the masajid, to the madaris. Don't limit Islam to only the month of Ramadan. Don't limit Islam to only a few days of Hajj. Islam is everything, from the beginning till the end. How to cut our hair, how to knock on the door. Once a person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person knocked on the door. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked it from inside, that man, hunak, who is there? That person said, Ana. Ana. It is a hadith of Abu Dawud Sharif. It is me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset that why did you say Ana, me? How do I know if you just say me from inside? How do I know from inside who it is outside? So say your name when you knock on the door. If someone asks you, say your name. So every aspect of our lives, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And in detail, especially these financial transactions, commercial transactions, everywhere you see today, people are involved in interest-bearing transactions. Unfortunately, the trend has become such that we cannot run our businesses without going to the banks. And everything we want to buy also, we want to buy on the credit cards. And then we end up paying interest. So how can there ever be peace of mind and contentment of heart? How many times I've read in this year alone, on the BBC website, at least twice or thrice, I've read that because of interest-bearing transactions, Indian farmers are committing suicide. Because of getting involved in interest-bearing transactions. Now, who is that who puts that anxiety, that worry, that tension into the hearts? Khuda ki sarkashi se khudkushi hai maal o daulat mein. Kabhi Allah walon se nahi aisa suna jata. When a person goes against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he feels nothing about interest-bearing transactions, when he feels nothing about having intermingling of the sexes in his business, when he feels nothing about having music on his phones, when he feels nothing about attracting people with music, attracting people and having having semi-naked women or semi-naked men on his advertising screens, when he feels nothing about all these things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts anxieties, worries, troubles into his heart. And I'll give you an example of this as well. But from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kabhi Allah walon se nahi aisa suna jata. We don't find that the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever get thoughts of committing suicide. Perhaps they don't have much, but their heart is at peace. They have contentment of heart, they have peace of mind, tranquility, serenity. Everything is there. My Shaykh Peer and Murshid Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatum, he says, Dushmano ko aishe abo gil diya, dosto ko apna darde dil diya. To the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them plentiful. And to the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dosto ko apna darde dil diya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them his love, his friendship, his wilayat. Unko sahil par bhi tughyani mili. In comforts, they had everything, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It seems like they have everything in the world. Unko sahil par bhi tughyani mili. But they have worries, anxieties, problems. Muh mein kabab hai, lekin dil pe azab hai. It seems as though they are enjoying everything. But there is no enjoyment. Aur humko tufano mein bhi sahil diya. And the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Shaykh says, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they seem to be in problems, difficulties, perhaps they don't have a lot of money. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them those hearts that even the kings, if they knew what was in those hearts, the kings would have desired for such hearts. I'll just give one or two examples and I'll terminate. Bill Gates is the richest person in the world. Bill Gates is the richest person in the world. He's worth $50 billion. Now, sometimes we won't understand it like that. And this, what I'm saying, was on their own website, the CNN website. I saw this article. If you go into the archives, perhaps you can see it there as well. Bill Gates wishes he wasn't the richest man in the world. So, he's worth $50 billion. We'll understand it if you put a 5 and 10 zeros after that. A 5 and 10 zeros after that, all in US dollars. Now, can you imagine if me and you had that type of money, we would have felt that perhaps we would be the happiest people in the world. Nothing to do, we can relax. Not only our grandchildren, but our great-grandchildren can eat from the same fortune. But when he was asked in the same website, in the same article, when he was asked that how do you feel being the richest person in the world? So Bill Gates says, I wish I wasn't. There is no good that comes out of it. I wish I wasn't. There is no good that comes out of it. And then he says that, do you sit with your other billionaire compatriots, with your other billionaire friends? Do you sit with them? Do you enjoy with them? He says, no, I sit alone. Now, can you imagine now, having all that money, all that wealth, all that fortune, but happiness is something else. Happiness is that with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives into that heart. Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Only and only and only in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will we get peace of mind, contentment of heart. Only in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr here means the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how many incidents there are of the Allah walas? They say, Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanutwi rahmatullah alayhi, he says, I had a few morsels of some doubtful food when I went to someone's place. I went there, I didn't know what his earnings were, and I ate. And then I learned that his earnings were of a doubtful nature. Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Nanutwi rahmatullah alayhi. So he says, for a few months after that, I felt urges to commit some type of sin. From within my heart, the heart would say, now commit this type of sin, commit that type of sin. Because there is a link between what we eat and our actions. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu minat tayyibat wa'amalu saliha. That eat good food, eat halal, wholesome food, halal food, eat. And then do good actions. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked it. It means that if our food, our earnings are going to be of haram nature, our earnings are going to be of a doubtful nature, then the actions that come out of us will also be like that. The actions that come out of us will also be like that. So it is very, very important that all our actions, our Buzrugan-e-Din, in every aspect of their lives, they made sure, and they were all the time, they were precautious, made ihtiyat in how we earn. We also have to do the same. One more incident and I'll terminate. Dr. Abdul Hay Sahab Damat Barakatum, after Mufti Shafi Sahab had passed away, Mufti Shafi Sahab, the Mufti Azam, Grand Mufti of Pakistan, after he had passed away, he got a bit ill. Dr. Abdul Hay Sahab got a bit ill. So Ma Taqi Usmani Sahab, my ustad and teacher, he said, I went to my father's room, Mufti Shafi Sahab's room, and I took some medicine and I brought it for Dr. Abdul Hay Sahab. It was a spoonful of medicine that he had to have, one tablespoon. But Dr. Abdul Hay Sahab said that your father has just passed away. This bottle of medicine belongs to all the heirs. This bottle of medicine belongs to all the heirs. It is not correct for me to have one spoon of this medicine without the permission of all the heirs. So Mufti Taqi said, look at the amount of precaution, the amount of ihtiyat. And then we find that these people have peace of mind. Now some of us might feel that, they say even that, Maulana, we are, in Urdu they say, baal ki khal nikal rahe. Baal ki khal nikal rahe. We are taking off the skin from hair. That means we are getting very technical. But these are the things, these are the aspects that make a difference in a person's life. When a person is going to be concerned about the small, minor issues, about how to run his business, then the person will enjoy peace of mind, contentment of heart. The reason why he is running that business is so that he can enjoy himself, so that he can be at peace, have contentment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to him, even though he gets a little after that. But believe you me, if we start acting on the Shariat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not deprive such a person. He will give him even more, and even more. And that more will come with lots and lots of barakat as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon whatever is being said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the calamities, the difficulties, the problems and the calamities that the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering all over the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure the illnesses, the sicknesses of all those who are suffering from any type of sickness, and remove the financial problems and difficulties of those who are suffering any type of financial problems and difficulties. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.